And it's from verse 31. And Mark describes the words of Jesus to his disciples as he predicts his death. Verse 31 of Mark chapter 8. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his own holy angels." And he goes on to say, and he said to them, "I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." And then he goes on to talk about that amazing transfiguration. But that's for another day. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. And I believe it's Luke 14. And these words are a little bit troubling, I have to say. They are the words of Jesus, but he's speaking about the cost of being a disciple. I don't know about you, but I remember a chorus we used to sing. Now I've follow everywhere, I will follow him. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Remember that? See, I can sing it better than I can speak it. Perhaps my sermon, I'll have to sing it out to you this morning. But I increasingly, I think, as we grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus, we realize there's a cost to be born, to be a disciple, to be a believer in our world. And Jesus speaks some very powerful words. I just want to go to verse 28 of Luke 14. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the others are still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." It's a challenge. And I guess some of us have gone through the trials and tribulations. Some of us are still going through them of holding fast to what we believe against a tide of evil. And in a sense, we count the cost, the scars of standing often alone in a world that is speaking words against the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's We're living in challenging days, and I think these days of being a believer, being a Christian, being a disciple, it means that we have to stand alone, dare to be a Daniel, to stand alone in a world increasingly as godless as we live today. And so it's good that we can sing this next, that we stand fast in Christ alone. Well, for those of you who've been receiving the emails every day, we thank Jenny for her sterling work to remind us, if we need reminding, some really good scriptures and little illustrations there of in preparing for Lent. And it's good that we can prepare in this way, because it's the 40 days of preparation, and some people give up alcohol, some people give up chocolate, others give up other things as well. But these are obviously quite surface things. It really isn't not about what we give up, but it's about that self-introspection, that self-examination in our lives. The psalmist says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And it seems to me that the reading for Mark turns everything upside down from a world perspective. Jesus highlights his death as a means to life, sacrifice as a means to satisfaction, dying to self to actually find life worth living for. And so there are three D's that I want to leave with you today. First of all, decision. Secondly, dedication. And thirdly, direction. Destiny, dedication, direction. And if you can remember those at the close of today, you've done very well if you've not written them down. And it's interesting, when we look at the verse 34, which is the text that I will use for today, here's Jesus saying, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And it's the big if there, because it's not just anyone, it's not everyone. Not everyone will take up a cross and follow Jesus. I believe we're living in a world where we have different dimensions of Christianity. I remember when we were in the Cotswolds, we went around, and it was in the year 2000, and we had these little videos we were giving. Remember videos? And it was given from Agape, and we were handing them out to people and knocking on the door and saying, we'd like you to see this. It was the life of Jesus. And many people said they were Christian. They didn't go to church. One or two said they were Anglican. Others said they were Roman Catholic, and others said they were Baptist, but we never saw them in the Baptist church. It is conditional today that people call themselves Christian because they're not Islamic or they're not Hindu. And when we read scriptures like this, it just reminds us that Christianity, believing in Jesus, walking that narrow road that leads to life, requires a cost and a devotion that is beyond anything else. I mean, Jesus said that when he talked about his relationship with disciples, he said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. And it's the disciple, the believer, that lives through the energy and the life-giving health of Jesus that enables us to live our lives with the forward thinking that Christ is for us and not against us. In fact, the word discipleship means dedicated follower, not a fashion, but of Jesus. I know your thoughts there. I knew that was coming. But a dedicated follower of Jesus. Following Jesus. It's tough, isn't it, to follow Jesus, particularly when you're the only one. Maybe you're the only one in an area that you're living in, as far as you know. And yet, it's a life of decision. And it's not that we decide to follow Jesus. The fact that Jesus has chosen us to follow him means that we make a decision that we will give up everything to follow him, that we will forsake other things so that we could follow Jesus. The decision to follow Jesus is that having the knowledge of Christ in us and weighing up the costs of what it is to live our lives for him. And then he speaks of dedication here. He must deny himself. It's interesting, that word deny means to disown. That doesn't mean to say that we don't look after ourselves. We do wash our faces and brush our teeth, and if we've got hair, we comb it. It's about actually not allowing ourselves to have priority over our walk with Christ. When we look at history, we'll see those Christians that were quite radical in their approach to Christianity, that to deal with sin and to ensure that they stayed very holy and very much in the level that Christ has set for them, so they believed, that they would enter times of self-flagellation, whereby they would beat themselves with whips and they do all sorts of things to bring their lives in line with Christ. Some would go to even extreme levels of self-mortification to ensure that they kept themselves focused on the one they were following. I don't believe it's that we should be doing. You may think differently, but I think it's the fact that we need to be living opposite to the way of the world. And that is the difference. The world system that we live in is a world that's governed by the enemy himself, and it's a world system that we find when we look at society as a whole, when we look at what's been accepted in the political powers and local situations that are decided upon, they go right against our Christian beliefs. But bearing in mind that we're still a Christian country, just, although percentages would suggest that we're moving away from that. But we do have the basic foundations of being a Christian country, and yet church going is less now than it ever has been. So that really tells the story, doesn't it? But it's being opposite to the world. It's thinking differently to the world thinks. 1 John 2 says this, that do not be lovers of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father cannot be in you. You know, we can be in the world, but we don't need to be part of it. We don't need to love it like others may do, but to see it as a place where we live to serve Christ. James 4 says this, friendship with the world is adultery. It's about giving yourself to the things of this world rather than to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve God's will. And so it is opposite to the world, and it is sacrifice, and it is laying down certain things. It's laying down certain principles that this world holds to, and say, no, I hold to the principles of the Word of God. The Word of God is our mantra. That's where we find our direction. Somebody says this, what we possess should not possess us. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So that's dedication, to deny ourselves, to disown ourselves. But to take up our cross and follow him is something entirely different. And it seems to me Jesus is saying that everyone that would come after him does have a cross to bear. I think I've told you this story before of somebody that I ministered to, and she suffered severe arthritis. And she used to say to me, but this is the cross that I have to bear. Now, of course, she's got it completely wrong. But I mean, that's how some people have determined how they have dealt with issues in their lives. But to take up our own cross, to take up our personal cross, is something personal to you and it's personal to me. And I have to say at this stage, I am no example of somebody that has following this scripture literally. I'm here to say I'm as weak as you are at times by the pressures of this world, and the things of this world can take real priority over anything else. But this period of Lent does cause us to think about our lives, to think about what motivates us. What do we think about? What is our thought pattern? How do we spend our time? What really interests us in life? Is Christ all in all? Didn't Paul on his journey of faith say, I want to know the sufferings, I want to experience the resurrection, I want to know Christ and his power in my life? Is that our desire? Or have we other agendas? I think Lent is a time when we can recalibrate our lives, to rethink our lives, to make a fresh start, if you like, and to say, yes, Lord, I do want to live my life for you. I do want to be dedicated to you. I do want to live my life in a direction that you are calling me to. To follow Jesus is self-sacrifice. And if I can bring that into the context of where I think we are, it's a dedication to service to God and to one another. It's sacrificing our time for the benefit of others. As Paul says in Philippians 2, consider others better than yourself. To consider others' opinions above our own. To listen to what others are saying rather than to be saying everything we want to others. Sacrificing our time. Oh, time, if only we had time. But sacrificing our time for mission, however we frame mission to be. And that might be just coming alongside somebody, or it might be actively being involved in mission to other people. The sacrificial life is also about enabling God to direct us in a different way to the way perhaps that we're going. Using our gifts on behalf of the kingdom. Having the mind of Christ. Having the attitude of Christ in everything. The Garden of Gethsemane attitude, not my will, but yours be done. So we're on this journey of Lent, and it's the beginning of this 40-day, or just into the 40-day period, of a time when we are rethinking our lives. That decision, yes, follow. I will follow Jesus. I will give up for Jesus. A time of dedication. That dedication to worship, that dedication to scripture, that dedication to prayer, that dedication to the body of Christ, all these things are important. And the direction of our lives, that life of the cross. I may have said this before, but I remember the illustration somebody once gave of this, and it was of the fact of somebody carrying a cross, and it's the narrow way with walls either side. And that call to turn round doesn't come easy, but that call is there to go back to perhaps an easier way of life, to perhaps drifting back into the world where everything is swimmingly, everything is easy. It's the broad road that leads to destruction, we know that, but we want to go back. Lord, this is too tough. And we go to turn round and we find that that cross prevents us turning because it hits the wall and we can't turn any more than that. You see, when we decide to follow Jesus, it is the way of the cross. So when we give our lives, that's when we find our lives. When we give of ourselves, that's when we really find ourselves for who we are. Jenny put a prayer on the internet this morning. It was this morning, Jen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe this is our prayer. Lord God, you who breathe the spirit of life within me, draw out of me the light and life you created. Help me to find my way back to you. Help me to use my life in reflection of your glory, and to serve others as you, Jesus, did for me. It's a lovely prayer, and it's one that we would remember today, especially as we begin this 40 days together. Let us pray.